Hi, everybody. Welcome back to episode 35 of the Interlude podcast. And today we are talking about fatigue management.
I'm your host, Dr. Eleanor Toplinski, and I am a board-certified medical oncologist specializing in the treatment of breast and gynecologic cancers. I started the Interlude podcast as a way to share the journeys and experiences of women who are going through cancer. On this podcast, we talk about anything and everything related to the cancer journey, the treatment, and life after cancer. As a reminder, the information discussed on this podcast is not meant to serve as medical advice. Any specific medical questions should be directed to your healthcare team.
So let's get started. On today's episode, I want to talk exactly about what fatigue is, how we screen and measure for it, and then how we can manage it both during chemotherapy treatment and beyond. Fatigue is defined as a de-stressing, persistent, subjective sense of physical, emotional, and or cognitive tiredness and exhaustion that's out of proportion to activity and interferes with your usual functioning. It's subjective, and we need to make sure that as oncologists, we are screening for it at regular intervals. Once we can screen for it, we can identify that it is a problem for certain patients, and then we can recommend management techniques. The best way to screen for it is really to ask someone firsthand. Just the first question is, are you fatigued on a scale of 0 to 10? So 0 being you're not fatigued at all, and 10 being, you know, this is the worst fatigue that you can imagine. Anyone who really scores above a 4, that's something that we need to be addressing. The best way to kind of think about fatigue is over the last 7 days. So you might have a day where you're really, really tired, but let's say the other days you were feeling great. So that one day maybe is not representative of your overall level. So when someone asks you that question, is really kind of think about it based on that, the past 7 day window. Two other questions that can be helpful are, do you feel fatigued despite a good night's sleep? So for example, you might have had a really busy day at work, you had a lot of activities, a lot of plans with your family, whatever, and you're kind of tired, and by the end of the day, you just say, I got to sit on the couch, I have to go to sleep, I'm exhausted. But you wake up and you feel refreshed and you feel good. So that's a good sign. On the other hand, if you do all those things, you go to sleep and you wake up and you're still exhausted, you can't fathom the thought of getting out of bed and going to work, that's a sign of really excessive fatigue. The other question is, does fatigue interfere with your usual activities? This is important because people say, well, I'm tired, but I'm able to go to work, make dinner for my family, do my errands, you know, all the things that I do, and it doesn't affect my usual quality of life and my activities. Or people may say, you know what, I really can't, I'm able to go to work, but when I come home, I can't do anything. So that's an important concept, an important way to frame it is, are you tired? But then does that tiredness really affect your activities and quality of life? Because that's a problem if it is. So when you're going to the oncologist and the oncologist is saying, well, are you tired? How's your energy? How's your fatigue? Those are kind of the three questions you want to be thinking about in your head in a way to frame that answer. As a side note, when talking to children with cancer, and this is not something that we really focus on this podcast, but when talking to children, it's important to ask them if they're tired and not fatigued, because they don't really understand what that word is, but they do understand what tired means. So if you don't have any fatigue or it's mild, meaning it's on a scale of, you know, on 0 to 10, you're kind of in that up to 3 range, you're getting a good night's sleep and waking up feeling refreshed, feeling rested, and it's not interfering with your usual activities, then we would consider that none to mild, and we would just continue to monitor that and screen for it at regular intervals. And in my mind, that means that every time you're coming to your oncologist's office, they are asking you about your energy and your fatigue. It's important to note that mild to moderate fatigue is very common. It's a very common side effect during cancer treatment. And when I'm saying cancer treatment, I'm talking about chemotherapy, radiation, surgery, so any of those modalities, as well as endocrine therapy or immunotherapy, kind of any treatment you're getting for cancer. And the other thing that's really important is that it can last up to 1 year in cancer survivors. So people do get fatigued with treatment and then they're done with treatment and they say, well, it's not going away. I'm still tired. I still don't feel like myself. I still don't have the energy that I'm used to. That's normal, again, roughly within that year. But if you're fine and then fatigue starts months later, that really requires additional evaluation because that shouldn't be happening if you didn't have any. And now 6 months later, you're feeling really exhausted. That's something that would warrant workup by your doctor. So let's say in those questions, you're kind of in that moderate to severe fatigue range. Then we're not watching it anymore. We're really trying to manage it and saying, how can we make it better for you? Most important thing to keep in mind is that fatigue is not alone. And what that means is there are a lot of contributing factors to fatigue. So the first thing that has to happen is when, you know, you're with your doctor and you're talking, you're saying you're tired, you're fatigued, you're exhausted. The next thing is really a much more focused history. So thinking about, okay, the status of the cancer or just any disease in general. I mean, this is a oncology cancer podcast, but this discussion of fatigue really can be related to any chronic illness. And so this is, you can kind of extrapolate the information we're talking about here to really anything. But thinking about disease status, thinking about the treatment, right? So are you getting a treatment that is known to cause fatigue? Recent hospitalizations, those take so much out of you. Recent illnesses, even something like the flu, a cold, anything can really make you exhausted and make you hard to rebound from that. Medications, side effects of those medications, because fatigue is a very common side effect, drowsiness, things like that, really an important part. Drug interactions, and then thinking about other symptoms that you may be having. And then kind of really focusing more on the fatigue. So when did it start? Did it start when the chemotherapy or other side effects or other treatments started? Did it start later? What's the pattern? Are you more tired in the morning? Are you more tired in the evening? How long is the fatigue? Is it all day or do you notice it, you know, after you kind of do a lot, then you feel more tired and you find it hard to rebound? So the duration is really important. The change over time, as well as any associated or alleviating factors. So, you know, do you notice that when you get a headache, you're really exhausted from that? Those kind of things, does it interfere with function? And then some other things such as social support and economic status. Okay, this may seem, well, how does this relate to fatigue? So social support is really important. If people are trying to take on too much, they're going to be tired. So is there someone who can help you? Are you trying to run the house, take care of the kids, work full time while getting chemotherapy? That is a setup for fatigue. So that really is important, figuring out who are the people in your life that can be helping you and are they helping you? And then certainly economic status. This is a big deal. So there are people who have to work two jobs. They financially cannot afford to do so. And so of course they're going to be fatigued. So me telling them, oh, you should stop working. Well, that's not helpful because they financially can't. So I think understanding what people's limitations are, what their resources are, and what their bottom line is really important because we're not going to get anywhere if we recommend things to people that they can't do. So this is where transparency and open and honest communication is really important from both parties. If the oncologist is saying one thing and the patient is saying, okay, I'll do that, but they are not going to do that because they actually can't, this isn't going to work. So really, really important to have those honest conversations with each other. And then finally, of course, well, what are the resources available? So that kind of, again, goes in with the social support and the economic status. And all of that is really important in figuring out how we can best manage some of these symptoms of fatigue. Other things that are going to be really important to look at is assessment of treatable contributing factors. So there's a lot of side effects that people get during chemotherapy or other cancer treatment that really can worsen fatigue. The most important one is pain. If you're in pain, you're going to be exhausted. There's just no way around that. So really management of pain is so critical. Emotional distress, depression, anxiety, anemia, that's a big one. If you're anemic, you're going to feel tired. Sleep, if you're not sleeping, of course, you'll feel exhausted. And then nutritional deficits, electrolyte imbalances or vitamin imbalances, physical activity level, deconditioning, as well as just other comorbidities. So, you know, we know that cancer treatment makes people feel, creates deconditioning. It affects your cardiorespiratory fitness. Your stamina is not what it used to be. So you take that, you add to it some anemia, you add to it to the fact that maybe you're anxious and upset about everything that's going on, understandably, and you're not sleeping because of that. And that is a setup for just a severe fatigue. So it all goes hand in hand, and it really is important to address every single issue so that we can really make a difference in the side effects and subsequently the quality of life during treatment. So now that we've identified the fatigue, one, how do we manage it? And then what are the interventions to help manage it? Most important thing is patient and family education and counseling. So this is important. We have to make sure that everybody understands that fatigue is common, that we're not going to be able to get rid of it completely. Okay, we're just not. We can minimize it and we can make it better, but it's not going to go away. So understanding that and saying, how do I live with it, is going to be really important. And that's not just for the patient, that's for the entire family. Making sure that everybody in your immediate family, everybody that you interact with on a daily basis, understands what you're going through is critical. If your significant other does not understand or does not know that you're exhausted, and so the act of making dinner and taking care of the kids and doing the bedtime routine is exhausting for you, then it's going to be hard for them to understand why you are frustrated, why you're upset. So communication between the immediate family is important. Communication between the patient and the doctor is important. If you have older kids, you know, there's a lot that you can explain to them and you can lean on them to help as well. Women tend to have a tendency to take things on themselves, which is great, but it can lead to a lot of fatigue during treatment. So that education, that counseling is going to be key. During treatment, couple of things that I think are just the most crucial to manage fatigue. And number one, and I say this all the time, is exercise. Getting movement in, taking care of your body. And that can be as small as even going for a 10-minute walk. But anything where you're just getting up, you're moving your body, you're stretching your muscles, that is going to be so, so critical. And that is the most important recommendation we give when we talk about fatigue management. I know that when you're tired, when you are exhausted, the last thing you want to do is get up off that couch and go for that walk. I get that. But that's going to help you feel better. So what I tell my patients is, you know what, when you're really tired, tell yourself you're going to go for 10 minutes. Set a timer on your phone and go for 10 minutes. And if at the end of that 10 minutes you feel great and you want to walk more, wonderful. Or if at the end of that 10 minutes you say, I really do not feel good, I am exhausted, everything hurts right now, I just need to sit down, then you gave it your best shot and you are ready to, that's all you can do for that day, but you did something. A lot of people will tell me, I'm not exercising, but I'm active. I'm getting up off the couch, I'm walking around my house, I'm cleaning, I'm doing laundry, I'm doing the dishes. That's great, and I think that one distinction that I think is really important to make is being active and exercising, because it's important to do both. You don't want to exercise but then be sedentary for the rest of the day. That's a different story. But for this particular situation, while being active is important, what's really more important is that exercise. And so you want that dedicated time where you're moving, where you're stretching. And that's going to be important, not just for fatigue, for your mental health, for the endorphins that come with exercise, for your cardiorespiratory fitness. We know that deconditioning during chemotherapy is a real thing, and so exercise will help with that. Additionally, kind of a continuous level of movement allows you to stretch out your joints, your muscles, whereas kind of that stop and go when you're cleaning or doing laundry, that doesn't necessarily happen. The next thing is self-monitoring of fatigue level. So really paying attention to when are you fatigued. Are you more fatigued in the morning? Are you more fatigued in the evening? And that's important because that will allow you to schedule activities at the time of peak energy. So if you know that you've got a ton of energy in the morning, you feel great, you want to put the bulk of what you have to do for the day in the morning. And so if you're exhausted in the evening, you're not leaving a ton of errands and chores and things you need to do for that time. So if you know, okay, that day I need to do laundry, I need to prep dinner, I need to do this thing at work, you know, whatever it is for you, and you know that you feel the best at a particular time of day, that's when it's really important to do those things. And then on the time of day where you feel tired, you say, you know what, this is when I'm just going to relax. I'm going to sit and read a book or watch a movie or whatever. So planning out your day becomes really important, and paying attention to how you feel on a daily basis is very important. Along with that is a term that's called energy conservation. So what that means is really setting priorities and realistic expectations. So, you know, for example, a lot of people who work full time, weekends are their days to do errands. I live in Bergen County. In Bergen County, everything is closed on Sundays. There's these very antiquated laws, and no shopping malls are open on Sundays. So most people save, you know, kind of do all their errands on Saturdays. So that can end up being a lot, right? You've got dry cleaners, laundry, you know, you got to return this, you got to buy this, you got to get car washed, I don't know, whatever, the list goes on. So you're saving all that to do on a Saturday. That's a lot. So I ask you, during treatment, is to set realistic expectations. One, what absolutely has to get done and what does not, right? What's a priority and what is not? And then two, ask yourself, well, do I really have to be the one to do that? So do you really have to be the one to drop the clothes off at the cleaners? Do you really have to be the one, you know, to return this one thing? You know, whatever it is for you and your life. So really kind of saying, all right, I know that I'm tired. I'm going to prioritize what needs to be done. I'm going to set realistic expectations of what can actually get done in one day, and I'm going to schedule activities at the time of peak energy. That is really important in managing the fatigue. Along with that, you want to postpone non-essential activities like we talked about, and you want to do one activity at a time. That really helps instead of trying to do a lot of things at once and maybe getting tired. You're saying, these are the things that I need to get done. I'm going to do one thing at a time and it's going to get done. I think it's really important to have a structured daily routine or a calendar for your day so you know what needs to happen. You don't want to overschedule yourself and overcommit yourself. And then finally, you want to give yourself breaks in the day. So, you know, if you have a lot to do that day, say I'm going to do these three things, I'm going to come back and I'm going to take a rest, and then I'm going to, you know, move forward. One of the things that comes up a lot is the importance of naps. And so should people nap? And I think naps are fine. I think sometimes people end up taking really long naps, especially in the late afternoon or early evening, which can interfere with your sleep. And that can be a problem. So short naps, but I think there's nothing wrong with them if you need them, especially if you are really exhausted. And the last thing is delegating. And we kind of touched on this already a little bit, but really, really important to make sure that you're delegating tasks and delegating things to other, maybe your friends, your family members. If they're asking you, what can I do to help? And you're saying, no, nothing, I'm fine. But you're then saying, I'm really exhausted. There's a disconnect there. So if people are reaching out to you and they're saying, how can I help you? Ask them. They want to help you. They will be so grateful that you gave them something to do because they're truly helping you, right? So say, hey, can you drop off my clothes at the dry cleaners? That's going to be really, really important. So that's kind of the bulk of fatigue management. But I also want to touch on some interventions that are a little separate from that but can also contribute. So exercise. I can't say this enough, right? Physical activity, so important. And then what we didn't really touch on is what kind of physical activity. I am not saying, guys, go out there and run a marathon. I am saying move your body. So for some people, that's walking. For others, that's going to be yoga. For others, that's going to be just a gentle stretch. For others, that's going to be maybe a light run. Whatever it is for you, weightlifting, cycling, it does not matter as long as you're getting out there and doing something. Massage therapy really can help, and it is safe to get massages on chemotherapy. Obviously, this is something you would clear with your doctor, but overall, we do feel that it is safe. Nutrition. So this is huge. You know, one of the things I always say is obviously big side effect of chemo is nausea, vomiting. So if you are nauseous, you want to eat whatever you need to eat to get food in, to get the calories in so that you're not nauseous or vomiting. But if you're feeling good, you want to eat foods that are energy rich, that are going to make you feel good, healthy fats, healthy carbohydrates, healthy, lots of protein. Nutrition is such a key role, and hydration, so drinking lots of water, that is such a key role in how we feel. What my kind of rule of thumb is, and what I tell my patients is, eat something that you're going to feel good at an hour later. So this may seem funny, but for example, there's some foods that we eat and we feel great when we're eating them because they're delicious and they taste great, but an hour later you feel bloated, you don't feel good, you're kind of, why did I eat that? So that's okay to eat those foods because in the moment they taste really good and that's important. But overall, you want to eat foods that make you, an hour later, you feel like you've got energy, you feel great, because that's going to be really important with the fatigue. Along with nutrition, other things, sleep hygiene. When we talk about sleep hygiene, factors are as follows. So going to bed at roughly the same time every night or when you're sleepy, and then trying to wake up roughly at the same time every morning. So if your sleep habits are all over the place, if you're going to sleep at 8 p.m. one night, midnight another night, and then you're waking up anywhere from 5 a.m. to 10 a.m., it's really going to affect, your body's not going to know what to do with that, and it's going to be very difficult for your circadian rhythm and for your just natural, like, alarm clock, so to speak, to kind of get used to it. So you're going to feel tired. So trying to roughly go to bed at the same time and waking up at the same time can help. If you're unable to fall asleep, staying in bed and just kind of staying awake is not going to help. So general rule of thumb is to get out of bed about 20 minutes after if you're unable to fall asleep. Avoiding long naps, especially, again, we said late afternoon or early evening. Limiting your total time in bed. So bed should be for sleeping. This is not the time to be spending hours in bed watching a movie on your iPad, right? That's other, there are other places in the house where you can do that. For some people, avoiding caffeine after a certain time is really important. And then, you know, having a conducive environment to sleep. So what that means is, you know, it shouldn't be too hot. It shouldn't be too cold. You should have the blankets that you need. All of those things are important. You want your bed to be a good, comfortable place for you to sleep. So couch, not a great place to sleep. Some people end up falling asleep on the couch while watching TV. That is not good sleep hygiene. So really kind of getting yourself set up for a good sleeping environment is important. Some people will benefit from white light therapy. So there's a lot of seasonal affective disorder, a lot of places that don't get a lot of sunlight. So there's some data for getting those white lights and doing them for about 30 to 90 minutes, especially in the early morning. And that's something that I would encourage you to speak with your doctor about. And then treating other causes of fatigue, pain, anemia, emotional distress, anxiety, depression, all of those things are really important. And we can manage fatigue all we want, but if at the end of the day you're still extremely anemic, it's not going to help as much as it would if we manage the anemia as well. So all of those recommendations and interventions can be applied both during cancer treatment and after cancer treatment. And finally, psychosocial interventions can help. Meditation, mindfulness-based stress reduction. So a lot of people will tell me, I am exhausted because I'm not sleeping because I'm anxious. And I'm taking anti-anxiety medication and I'm still waking up in the middle of the night from anxiety. And so I'm not sleeping and I'm exhausted. All normal. And the anti-anxiety medications and the sleep medications and all those aids we have are helpful, but they don't really solve the underlying problem. And that's when really thinking about why you're anxious, using meditation, using breathing exercises, mindfulness-based strategies are really important to get to the root of why you're feeling anxious. Are you feeling anxious about your risk of recurrence? Are you feeling anxious about the effect that your cancer is having on your family? These are all things that are going to be really, really important to understand. And counseling can really help with that as well. So that's not something that we should not consider. That really has to be part of our overall management. So all those things that we talked about really can be applied during cancer treatment as well as after cancer treatment. The two other things that tend to come up after cancer treatment that don't come up as much during cancer treatment are, one is supplements. So a lot of people will say, okay, I'm done with treatment. I'm exhausted. I'm not back to where I want to be. Can I go back on all my vitamins and supplements? And the answer is yes, you can go back on your vitamins and supplements after treatment. Again, that's something you would talk to your doctor about. But the data for supplement use to manage fatigue is very inconsistent. So it's something that we recommend on a routine basis. So something to keep in mind, people ask about ginseng because there's some data for that and vitamin D, but again, the data is inconsistent. So talk to your doctor about whether that is right for you. And then other things, some people after treatment will benefit to a referral for physical therapy or an exercise specialist for kind of sequelae of cancer treatment. The two that really come to mind are neuropathy and lymphedema. And that's something that we really should address from the beginning. So if someone has neuropathy from chemo, which happens a lot, think about it. If they are having pain, they're unable to walk as much, they're unable to exercise, they're going to feel tired. So, and the neuropathy can take months to get better. So really staying on top of that and saying, you know what, let's get you to physical therapy. Let's get you to an exercise specialist. Let's get you to a neurologist or whoever to help manage these symptoms is going to be really, really important. Because one of the things that is really a big deal to me is taking ownership of the side effects. And so what that means is saying, I'm fatigued, or I have neuropathy, or you know, whatever the side effects that you have are, and saying, how am I going to make it better? If it is interfering with my quality of life, I'm not going to just say, oh, it's okay, I'll wait for it to get better. I'm going to actively take steps to make it better. And one of those steps for some people is an exercise specialist, is physical therapy. So we shouldn't discount the importance of those interventions. And the last thing that I want to talk about on today's episode is workup for fatigue post-treatment. So it's one thing if you feel tired, you're done with treatment, it's slowly starting to get better, but it's taking time. It's another thing completely if you've been feeling fine and then all of a sudden you develop fatigue. That's a change. And with any symptom, that's a change, we want to really work it up. So when that happens, things that we're going to look for is, what is the risk of recurrence? So is this someone who has a high risk of cancer recurrence, and that's going to be kind of at the forefront of our mind? Or is this someone who has a really low risk of recurrence, and we're saying, well, there's got to be something else that's causing their fatigue? Looking at medications that people are taking. So a lot of things can cause fatigue and can contribute. Over-the-counter medications or supplements, anti-anxiety medications, some of the medications used for neuropathy can cause drowsiness, pain medications. So really looking at what someone is taking, looking at underlying emotional issues, specifically anxiety and depression. Depression can cause a lot of fatigue, and sometimes depression gets worse after cancer treatment. So that's a big, big thing to address. Underlying comorbidities. Looking at blood work. So that's going to be, again, are you anemic? What the white count is, what the metabolic panel is. Do you have any electrolyte imbalances? Thyroid function testing for people who've been on steroids for a long time during cancer treatment and now came off them. Sometimes you can have something called adrenal insufficiency, so we need to test for that. But some people may benefit from imaging or an echocardiogram to evaluate their heart function. And then, of course, we would treat any contributing factors. And that's kind of the best way to think about it. So to sum up, number one, we want to evaluate fatigue on a regular basis. That's going to be in my practice every time you come to see me on cancer treatment. I am asking you, how is your fatigue? How is your energy level? Number two, for people with moderate to severe fatigue, we are getting more information. We're getting a focus history. We're looking at treatable contributing factors. We're looking at concurrent symptoms and medications that people are taking. Once we get a comprehensive picture of what's really going on, the next steps are number three, management of fatigue, and number four, interventions. So this is going to include, especially during treatment, monitoring of fatigue levels, energy conservation, scheduling activities at the time of peak energy, and postponing non-essential activities. Exercise, most critical part. And then other interventions such as counseling, importance of nutrition and sleep hygiene, and treating other causes of fatigue. One of the things that I did not touch on today's episode is the use of stimulants, which are used in some cases for cancer-related fatigue, but that's a very individual conversation with your doctor, and I would defer to that person. And then number five, looking at fatigue after treatment, making sure that it's not a new symptom that we have to address and work up, and looking at some of the comorbidities that have developed from cancer treatment that may be causing fatigue after treatment. I hope you guys found this episode helpful. Fatigue is such a big part of cancer treatment and beyond, and we really need to make sure that we are addressing it because it plays such a big role in our daily activities and our quality of life. As always, I hope that you enjoyed today's episode. I am trying to do more of these episodes of side effects and how to manage them because it's so, so critical and a big part of the cancer experience. If you did enjoy today's episode, I would really appreciate if you could take a minute to leave a rating and review for the Interlude podcast on Apple Podcasts, as that is the best way to help me grow the show. You can find me on social media on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Dr. Toplinski. Thank you all for listening, and I will see all of you next week. Take care.